International Podcast Day is September 30th, and you can help spread the word. International Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved? It's pretty simple. First, head over to internationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. Second, use hashtag Podcast Day to join in the conversation. Remember September 30th. Now, let's start the conversation.
Today on episode number 532 of the School of Podcasting, we're going to answer the very important question, how do I become a popular podcaster when I was the most unpopular kid in high school? We're also going to talk about some bad advice that's been kind of been spewing out for people that you may not, if you're using Libsyn, you need to hear this. We're going to talk about the importance of keeping your website up to date, especially if you're using WordPress. And I'm going to peel back the curtain on the future of the School of Podcasting because, well, as the old saying goes, the only thing that stays the same is change. And I'm changing things up and I'll explain why. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so very, very, very much. I really do deeply appreciate it that in your busy time, you're taking time to listen to little old me. If you're new to the show, I help you massage your message. I help you face your fears. We're doing that a lot today. I help you tackle the technology, flatten that learning curve, and get you on the road to a successful podcast. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code LISTENER when it opens up on September 30th, and it will never close again. We're going to be talking about that in the towards the end of the show today, but I'm so glad that you are here. All right. Well, joining me today, we're using Cast for all the geeky people that want to know how we're recording this. It's Rachel Smets, and she's got a great new book out called Awaken Your Confidence. It's 15 people share their journeys to success. Rachel, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Thanks a lot.
Why I wanted to bring you on is in podcasting, there's a when we don't have confidence, we have a lovely little phrase for it. It's called imposter syndrome. And that's when a person comes up to the microphone and they want to start a podcast. Maybe they have something to say, but for whatever reason, they think things like, nobody's going to listen to me, or I'm not a geek. You need to be a giant nerd to do this. I know with females, a lot of times I hear they're worried about people. In iTunes, you can review a podcast, and if you want, you could leave a negative review. And a lot of people are worried about negative reviews. So if this is something that can be learned, the one tactic in your book is just start. And I was like, that's great, but that's just saying like, just drive when you have no gas in the tank. So how do you start like from absolute zero?
A few things. Let me pick three of the confidence hacks where I talk about in my book. I'm just going to pick three. And one of the thing is compare yourself to others. Don't do it, because it just makes you feel miserable. If you compare yourself to others, like, oh, but they have that, and absolutely, they have this, and I can't do it because I'm not like him. Well, that's not the way to start, okay? Because everything starts in your mind. And if you're already thinking in your mind, oh, I can't do it, well, you know, that's where it starts. Start thinking in your mind, yes, I can do it. Because yes, you have something to say. Everybody has something to say. For me, everybody is unique. Unique in their own way. Everybody. Whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, whether you're shy or you're somebody who loves talking to people or not at all, everybody has something to say. So if you believe that to begin with in yourself, and that's your own mindset, it's as easy as that. It's all in your own mind. Stop thinking those thoughts like I can't. Well, then you can't. Okay. And I just started more and more thinking years ago, like, you know, I don't want to grow old thinking, what if I would have, you know, I should, or I would have all of those shoulds and woulds. And then, yeah, that's where I keep thinking, well, I need to start somewhere. And this somewhere is just maybe by taking a very small step. Maybe sharing your story, not immediately on a big podcast, but maybe to a friend, to a family member, to any other person, maybe to a stranger, which would be a bigger step. But if you can share your story to a stranger, you can, you know, start building an audience and start feeling confident about talking to a bigger audience. There's just lots of different ways you can take these little steps, okay? So the mindset, the stop comparing yourself to others, keeping positive mindset. And here's the thing I want to share as well, is that a lot of people say, right, you know, thinking positive, everybody says that. It's like all of these self-help books, like think positive, and life is not rosy. And I'm here to confirm that. I mean, life is not that easy and rosy, but it's all about thinking about happenings and situations in life, but turning it into a positive way. I mean, how many times did I have setbacks or failures or disappointments or sadness or stress? But every time I learned, and every time now I come across or struggle or something goes wrong, I'm thinking, okay, what's the lesson here? What can I learn from it? Because years later, I can look back and say, oh, you know what? That moment, it really helped me to, you know, learn about it and now do it differently. The point I'm making here is that there's one quote coming back in my book, which I love, and that's this. Failure is feedback. And I'm going to repeat that. Failure is feedback. What that means is everybody goes through disappointments and setbacks, just like I said. But if you learn from it, take it as feedback. You know, you just said yourself, yeah, what if people say, you know, this and this, and it's not good or it doesn't sound good? Take that as feedback and learn from it and do it differently the next time. I love it when people tell me, Rachel, that and that was not so good. You know, maybe now I'm thinking, yeah, okay, cool. Now next time I'll do better.
Do you have an example of that maybe in your own life that you could share?
Let me say, I've been moving abroad and working abroad for the past 15 years. But every time I had to look for a job and apply for a job, because then I thought, okay, if I have a job, then I have some income, then I can look for a place to live. And I really just wanted to experience living abroad in different cultures. And it really grew my confidence, but also my experience and knowledge of other cultures. So did I fail moving and taking wrong decisions or doing job interviews and not getting the job? Many times. But I kept going back, like, okay, I'll apply to 10 jobs. I'll do 5 interviews and 4 of them might fail. And, you know, let's go to another interview. And I'm kind of having fun with it. It's like, okay, not every interview is going to be perfect and not every interview is going to give me a job. But I learn every time. And now when I go to a job interview, I'm enjoying it because I'm thinking I did so many and many times it goes wrong, but I don't give up. And you know what the end result is? All of those that went wrong, I'm thinking, well, then that was not the job that was meant to be for me. So that's the feedback.
Yeah, I've always told people, you know, the first time you go to tie your shoes or the first time you go to shoot a basketball or whatever it is, usually you don't get it the first time and then you learn something from that and eventually you get to where you want to go.
Exactly.
And one of the other things I like that you said in the book, fear is only as deep as the mind allows. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, again, Dave, it's fear. It's all in your mind. You know, if you think, oh, I need to enter this job interview, but I'm never going to make it. The other day I was talking to somebody and she was just like that. Yeah, oh, you know, I don't know. And I'm nervous and I'm stressed and I'm not going to make it. Let me give you an example. I was working as a commercial manager in France for a while and I had to do cold selling. So I had to go to these big companies, construction companies. Here I am as a female, you know, in between all those working men and construction sites. So I was like scared to death the first time I needed to go in there and did my little speech. And I thought, oh, on top of it, in another language, of course, in a foreign country, not my own language, not my own country. But I think, okay, I can just sit here and don't, you know, not do it. But then the first time it's like my heart beating, but you face it. Okay, I face it. I confront my fear. I go in there, do my speech, walk out. I'm thinking, okay, it's not all that bad. And after this first time, second time goes better, third time goes even better. And after a while, it's just, hey, you know, that's it. It's easy. So that's the thing with fear. It's like, first of all, stop thinking I can't do it. And second of all, start doing it and facing it. Make fear your friend.
Yeah. And the other thing I thought was great advice in the book is you talk about focusing on the now. And I love that because so many times we will talk ourselves out of things because of things that have happened in our past. And then we think about the future and what could possibly happen wrong in the future. And, you know, the past doesn't matter anymore because it's in the past and the future hasn't happened yet. And I was like, wow, that's actually really good advice.
if there's one analogy that I really want to make, and it's a picture that just sticks in my mind, it's the rear view mirror in the car. If you talk about being present and being in the now, imagine yourself sitting in a car, and I think that's the easiest to really remember this situation. You sit in the car and you have your rear view mirror. If you look in the rear view mirror, you're looking in your past. But your past is gone, just like you said, Dave. Your past is already gone, so you can't go back into the past. And if you have failed or did something wrong in the past, does that mean you're going to do it again? Why would the same situation be the same? I mean, if you've done it in the past, now is now. So you're sitting in the car looking at the road ahead, but you're still sitting in the car at this same spot. Yes, you're looking ahead, and you have to look ahead because there's your future, there's your path, and you have to move forward. That's why you have to look forward. But you're not in the future yet. You're still driving right now where you are right now. So the future is good to look to, but why stress about it or fear it? You're not even there yet. So stay where you are now with your eyes on the road now, not glued to the rearview mirror, and just keep on driving.
Absolutely. One of the things I always tell people, they start to stress out about having this big audience. You know, well, what if I say something stupid in front of this audience? And I go, well, you're just starting out. Here's the good news. You don't have an audience yet. So if you're going to say something stupid, do it now, get it over with, and find out that nobody's going to kill you if you say something stupid. Plus, I've made some mistakes in this particular interview. We've had some little hiccups here, and I will edit those out. If I don't want you to hear those, I just edit them out. So it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And start focusing on thinking about talking. Like you said, I love the fact you said, go talk to a friend, because you might find out that the story that you think nobody would listen to, your friend might say, I never knew that about you. That's really interesting. And then you could work your way up to talking to one stranger, and that person might go, wow, that's really interesting. I met a man this week that was born in South Africa and now lives in the United States. He's got 3 degrees. He's 76 years old. He wants to start a website and sell things from ClickBank. And he was amazing. I talked to him for 3 hours. And I'm sure if you asked him, he probably thought, there's nothing special about me, but he's got a phenomenal life. But Rachel, I want to thank you. I enjoyed the book. It starts off with 15 stories of, like you said, people and their journeys to success. And then you have a bunch of these confidence hacks at the end that are exercises and things. And I love the fact that even when you set that up, you're like, here are things you can try. Some of these will work for some people, and others might work for everyone. Find the ones that work for you and just go with it. And like you said, baby steps, and then practice, practice, practice. And you can be more confident. Just to share my story, I actually, growing up as a high school kid, I was painfully shy. And one of my teachers told me that if I act the way I want to be, someday I will be the way I act. So he said, just pretend you're confident. And at the time, it might as well have been asking me to grow a third arm, but I tried it. And now you can't shut me up. So
fake it till you make it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the book's available at Amazon. You can find Rachel at rachelsmetz.com. It's spelled exactly the way it sounds. You can find her on Twitter at Rachel Smetz. And on Facebook, you're the number one period Rachel Smetz there. So Rachel, thank you so much for coming on. The book again is Awaken Your Confidence. 15 people share their journeys to success. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Dave. It was my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
I want to thank Rachel for coming on the show. And I'm going to kind of veer off here a little bit. On this week of, we taped Ask the Podcast Coach. I've talked about this show before. And there was a guy in the chat room named Carlos. And he said, how do we become a popular podcaster when I was the most unpopular kid in high school? And that really just pulled my heartstrings. So I went through and I did some research, and this is as accurate as the internet. So if this is you and you're like, you don't understand, nobody would ever listen to me. Got a couple quick examples for you here. Steven Spielberg, right, has won probably 8 million Oscars at this point. He says, I was a nerd in those days, like the kid that played the clarinet in the band and in orchestra, which I did. Taylor Swift says, I remember when I was in school, the whole reason I started writing songs was because I was alone a lot of the time. I'd sit there in school and I'd be hearing people like, oh my God, this party that we're going to is going to be so awesome on Friday. Everyone's invited except, and they would leave her name out. They would say that in front of her. Charlize Theron, who by the way is hot. Holy cow. She says, I didn't have any boyfriends in high school. I had a massive, massive crush on this one guy. He was a couple years older than me, and basically I did not exist in his world, which is hard to believe. Selena Gomez, I was bullied every second of every day in elementary and middle school. Lady Gaga, she says, I was being teased for being ugly, having a big nose, being annoying. Your laugh is funny, you're weird. Why do you always sing? Why are you so into theater? Why do you do your makeup like that? Constantly being teased. Jessica Alba. I'd eat my lunch in the nurse's office so I didn't have to sit with the other girls. Apart from me being mixed race, my parents didn't have money, so I never had the cute clothes or the cool backpack. Now, she's hot. Speaking of hot, I'm sounding like a dirty old man here. Cameron Diaz. She says, I'm a dork. When I was in high school, I was a total goon. There's a word I haven't used in a while. You goon. All the kids used to make fun of me. I was like all skinny and gangly. And guys were like, no, thank you. And I'm sure she's been on like People's Hottest, whatever, Most Beautiful, whatever. Jennifer Garner, right? Famous actress, still married to Ben Affleck at this point. She says, I was a real nerd. I wasn't the popular one. I was one of those girls on the edge of the group. I never wore the right clothes, and I had a kind of natural geekiness. I was in the school band, and I think it was a bit of a stigma at the age of 13. And if you asked me what I wanted to be, I would have said something like, I want to be a librarian. Kate Winslet, of course, you probably know her from being in Titanic and other, you know, famous actress person kind of thing. She was bullied and teased for being chubby. Her nickname at school was Blubber, and she was once even locked in the art cupboard. Miley Cyrus, at school, there was an anti-Miley club. Oddly enough, still going strong, I would think, at this point. Now, these were made up of big, tough girls who were fully capable of doing her bodily harm and went above and beyond in their bullying pursuit. Cyrus was once locked in a bathroom during the class. She says, they shoved me in. I was trapped. I banged on the door until my fists hurt and nobody came. Other incidents, including challenging Cyrus to a fight, which only ended when the principal stepped in. And when Cyrus wasn't being physically abused, she was being teased with classmates telling her, your dad, of course, achy breaky heart, dude, whatever, Billy Ray, your dad's a one-hit wonder. You'll never amount to anything just like him. Meanwhile, this week, she was the only guest on The Tonight Show. They just gave her the whole night. President Bill Clinton, you may have heard of him. As a junior high schooler, he was picked on relentlessly for being a fat band boy with bad taste in clothes. He, again, was also known as a band geek. Michael Phelps, the absolute, hands-down, most decorated Olympian ever, was taunted for his sticking out ears. He also had a lisp, as well as his long arms, which, of course, those long arms basically took him to greatness. Tom Cruise, seriously? Tom Cruise, his dad had the family moving a lot to find work. And Tom says, I was always the new kid with the wrong shoes, the wrong accent. I didn't have the friend to share things with and, you know, confide in. And at each school, he faced the fresh experience over and over and over again. He says, I was kind of small for my age and easily pushed around. And then here's the last one. Walt Disney. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper editor because, you ready for this? He lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Walt Disney. Now, after that, Disney started a number of businesses that didn't last too long and ended up with bankruptcy and basically failure. Now, if we go back to what Rachel was talking about, failure is just feedback. So he kept plugging along And eventually, as you have kind of figured out, found a recipe for success that can work. So kind of like Tom Cruise, when you start a podcast, all of the stupid people who didn't know the true, in air quotes here, you, they're gone. And you can start from scratch because nobody knows you. So don't let your past dictate your future. I tell people all the time, you don't let your mistakes define who you are, because they just don't, unless you let them. Podcasting has boosted the confidence of many leaders in their field who say the practice of talking, you know, into the microphone has helped them. It has helped people be better speakers as they're more familiar with coming up and doing presentations. One of those is Pat Flynn. You may have heard of his Smart Passive Income. And it's kind of funny, but Pat is like one of the best speakers I've ever seen. And yet when I was the director of the New Media Expo and I got to talk to Pat, he was, and he'll still say he does this, probably not as bad as he used to, but he was extremely nervous. That's just the way he is. So we all think these people are great and awesome and things like that. You know, just jump into the podcasting pool. The water is warm and the water is very, very friendly.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.
One of the things I do here at the School of Podcasting is I try to help you avoid common pitfalls. And I was contacted by a couple people this week. And here's what had happened. They were using a plugin, and I'll get to this in a second, but the name of their show was completely erased out of iTunes. And you know what? I'm not going to say the name of the plugin. You know what? I guess I will. Because here's my word. I don't want to bash the plugin because it's not the plugin's fault. The plugin is PowerPress. And here's the thing. If you are using WordPress, this is not negotiable. It's just not. You have to back up your website on a regular basis. But before that, you have to keep it updated. That means WordPress is updated and all of your plugins are updated. If you don't do this, you are begging people to hack you. You are begging for headaches. And I realize that there are times that when you log in and you've got nothing but little red dots saying you to update, update, update. If you do this, you will see it takes seconds to update. Because WordPress is so popular, it's got a target on its back and you have to keep things updated. So if you're using, in this case, PowerPress is on version 7 and some people were using 5, some people were using 6. So if you go into iTunes and you see that you don't have a name for your podcast anymore, update your WordPress, just update everything. And then there are tools like Backup Buddy. I use Backup Creator. I'm actually looking into, I've mentioned this probably a couple months ago. I'm looking into a couple of services where I'm going to have them back up things and I'll be able to update all of, because I have multiple websites that, I'll be able to log into one control panel and control all my websites. Now, here's the thing, and that's going to lead into my other thing here. Right there, I'm talking about using services because I have multiple websites. And I could steer you towards these services. But in reality, that makes sense for me. But it probably doesn't make sense for, I would say 70% of you don't have multiple websites. Most of you just have one. You're just getting your feet into this. And so I mentioned Pat Flynn earlier. I'm a huge Pat Flynn fan, and I'm also a fan of Cliff Ravenscraft. I don't listen to his show as much as I used to, but I caught a live Facebook thing of Cliff, and he's just such a dang, nice guy. But this is another thing that people are doing. It's not a mistake that's going to lead to you getting hacked. It's just like having a Corvette and only going 20 miles an hour in it. And that is, this is for Libsyn people. If you're using Libsyn to host your files, there is a quote, let's go air quotes here, feature called file for download. Now, the bad news is both Pat and Cliff are wildly popular and they have free tutorials. And those tutorials tell you to use this feature, file for download only. Why? Well, mainly because it worked for Cliff. Now, Cliff does this because he has like 37,000 shows. And he was trying to save a buck and have one big giant Libsyn account. And then he uses all these other feeds, including FeedBurner, which is another really, really, really bad idea because it stalls all the time. And he told people, this is how I do it. You should do it this way too. And that's where I, again, Cliff's a great guy and that makes sense for him. It does not make sense for you. And so since Cliff trained Pat, Pat has been telling people. Now, Pat, on the other hand, has told people don't use FeedBurner. But he's still using this file for download thing. And it's just, it's painting with peanut butter. Here's what file for download is used for. So let's say, I don't know, let's say I made a PDF of a podcast glossary. And I wanted to give that away just for people who signed up for my newsletter at schoolofpodcasting.com/glossary. I could do that. That means a file for download is a episode. It is a file that is not going to iTunes. It's not going to Stitcher. It's not going anywhere. You are not going anywhere unless I give you the direct link to that. That is what it's used for. It's used for people with like a VIP room or a membership site or something like that. File for download only, meaning it's not getting syndicated. It's not going into any feeds anywhere. Okay, got it. Now, Libsyn comes along and says, oh, by the way, did you know that when you upload a file to Libsyn, you can also publish it to Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, if you want to go that route, LinkedIn, and we have a separate feed for Google Play Music so that eventually, probably years from now, when Google and Apple no longer look identical, and if you don't think that's going to happen, tell me right now, go look at a Burger King menu and a McDonald's menu. Do you think those two are going to be the same in 5 years? I don't think so. So we have it set up so that Google Play Music, if they decide to change their category someday, you can change that. Well, here's the thing. If you're using file for download only, that is a file with zero destinations. So now we're having people that have followed this advice, given with the greatest of intentions from two great guys, that's just bad advice. So now you've got to go into all your episodes and add these destinations manually. You have to go back through your entire back catalog. Now, some of these, like YouTube, iHeartRadio is another one. You can do those a little more automatically, but most of these, you got to go back and do them. It just, you have a Corvette, Libsyn, and you're driving 20 miles an hour because, and I understand why, but I'm just here to tell you. And again, I'm not bashing these guys. I'm bashing just this piece of advice that they're giving, which is to use file for download for everything. And it's just not a great piece of advice. The only thing you gain from it is if you're going to use something like PowerPress, and if you're using PowerPress, make sure that bad boy is updated all the time, and you're going to have PowerPress create your feed. Keep in mind, if you do that, your stats in Libsyn are going to be all jumbled together. So it's just not, you're painting with peanut butter. So if you're thinking of doing, or if you go, really? Because I'm using file for download, contact Libsyn support@libsyn.com, and we can work with you to kind of get you using the true power of Libsyn. The last thing I want to talk about today is I have people that send me things and they almost make me want to cry in some ways because people, in a way, they just don't get it. And let me give you an example of one. This came in via email. It says, hello, Dave. After reading everyone's bio, I think you're the best able to help answer a question I have about my podcast. But first, I want to make sure you're the correct match for the question before I request a phone call. I'm nearing the end of the 8-week window of the opportunity to be featured in Apple's new and noteworthy category. Now, if you're a regular listener of the show, I'm not anti-Apple, but I am disappointed that people are not listening to people when we say you can be a new and noteworthy anytime. You can be new potentially just for 8 weeks. You can be noteworthy anytime. It says, from what I've learned, this is sort of a black hole because Apple's inside people select those to be at the top. Yes, meaning you can't game the system. I'm about 10 episodes in so far with over 1,200 downloads and 37 reviews. 1,200 downloads. I've done what I can to get that extra boost. My question is, should I relaunch the podcast if I don't get in new and noteworthy? So in other words, I've done all this work. I have 1,200 downloads in 10 episodes. And I want to throw it all away because I didn't get into the magical world of new and noteworthy. I only ask this because I've heard that hitting the category is one of the most significant things one can have under their belt at, here's my favorite word, launch. Launch. I have to launch. I have to release the pigeons and I have to have the blimp in the sky and I have to do all this stuff. I cannot launch unless I have 3, 8, 12, 15, 27, 38, 97 episodes in the can. And this is driving me nuts because I talked to people and they will literally have 20 episodes ready to go and they won't launch. And I'm like, what? So here's my new analogy. And for the record, here again, I'm not saying don't make a splash when you launch. Tell all your friends, tweet about it, Facebook about it, you know, pass out business cards. Make as much a splash as you can about your launch. By all means, it's fun. You want to get people talking about your stuff. I'm not anti-launch. What I'm anti is saying it's all about the launch. Because here's the deal. Saying that you will have a successful podcast only when you have a successful launch is like saying, if I focus all my attention on the wedding, I will have a phenomenal marriage. And for those of you that are married, you know that is not the case. It is the week after the honeymoon, when you get back and reality hits you in the face, that is when the real work begins. And in the same way that you can be in new and noteworthy anytime, or you can go in and out, your marriage will go in and out of good and bad times and things of that nature. So I just don't get hung up on the launch, because I'm really starting to see a trend here. And that is, it's like people are pre-fading, meaning, because we have a little, speaking of jargon, pod fade. This is when you just kind of quit making your show. You don't announce that you're leaving. You just kind of drizzle away. Well, we have people now that are pre-fading. I think that's the phrase for this. They're quitting before they start. And so don't get hung up on the launch. Think of this. Jerry Seinfeld's first episode, one of the most popular TV shows ever, was almost not picked up for a second season. It wasn't until like years, I think it was 5 or 6, that things really started to run off with that thing, because they had to find their audience and then build it that way. So don't get hung up on the pull the trigger. Please, please, please pull the trigger. And I do want to play a clip here that kind of ties in with this episode. So this episode has been a little bit about, you know, building up your confidence and getting you to launch, things of this nature. And I got a voicemail from Mel here. Now, Mel is a very unique guy. This is a guy who's been in radio for a very long time. And he actually at one point had the time slot right after Howard Stern in Philadelphia. That is a huge deal. And so Mel kind of sent this in. It's a little mixture of everything. It's kind of because of my podcast. It's a little bit of a testimonial to my teachings. And with that, and the other thing you'll hear here, going back to Carlos, Mel, not really, you know, this is a guy that stuttered when he was early. But look at what he's been up to now. So with that, let me toss this over to Mel.
So how has podcasting helped me, Mel Taylor? First off, it was really nice not to have to deal with, quote unquote, those radio dorks. Had a pretty good career in regular radio, like 15, 16, 17 years. I kind of lost track in Philadelphia. I was an on-air DJ, but nothing worse than knowing that that program director could fire you at a moment's notice. And that is pretty irritating and scary and disconcerting. No matter how good you are, you're always worried about that guy. Well, podcasting is a blessing from above. When I figured that I could actually reach almost the same amount of people, as crazy as that might sound, because owning a transmitter, as terrestrial radio companies do, they own the transmitter, you know, they control the channel. That's me no likey that. But podcasting, the ability to record something and then let anybody locally, regionally, nationally, or anywhere around the world listen to what you got to say, listen to your entertainment, your point of view on things. The podcasting thing really allows us radio dorks, us radio folk, to get back to behind the microphone. But podcasting and these tools and this software I use and these microphones, they're so inexpensive and so good. It allows those of us who have been displaced and laid off and fired to get back behind the microphone to do what we love doing. And I got to tell you, out of all the jobs I've had, everything from playing modern rock to top 40 to doing news in Philadelphia for many, many years, even after Howard Stern every single day, like the world's greatest job, right? It sounded cool, but wasn't allowed to say much. All I could really say was, and now, 45 minutes of nonstop rock and roll. Hi, I'm Mel Toxic on WISP. That was about it. Yeah, I know. I had that name, Mel Toxic. It was a great experience, especially for a guy who was stuttering when he was younger, to be talking on a big top five market radio station. But the idea of podcasting, it gives you the freedom of total control, the ability for great success or massive failure. I like that. And then when I find people who can teach me, back in 2007, I figured out this thing called WordPress. So that gave me the ability to have a platform to put my stuff up online for people to read it. And then figured out this thing called video and then audio. But the School of Podcasting and Dave Jackson. Yeah, the Dave Jackson. Yeah, that's right, the Dave Jackson. That's how I reached out to Dave, because that's what podcasting does. It takes an average guy like you and me and Dave Jackson to be larger than life. That's the power of online audio and podcasting, on-demand audio. So watching all the Dave videos and the audios and reading stuff, I figured out what software to buy. And I think I pretty much have to give credit to Dave for turning me on to the ATR 2100, which I'm talking into right now. And thanks to Dave, I learned about Mix Minus. What the heck is Mix Minus? Well, if I'm going to interview somebody over a cell phone, pumping it into my mixer, I don't want them to hear, you know, feedback. Dave helped me with that. Dave also turned me on to, yeah, that's right, the Dave Jackson. Dave turned me on to some software. I'm pretty sure he's the guy who I first got turned on to, the Hindenburg. I know, kind of a weird name, but Hindenburg, broadcaster, Hindenburg journalist. Really, my favorite audio editor now, because it's more robust than Audacity and not so crazy complicated like Adobe Audition. So thank you, Dave. So I learned about what mixer to buy. Got one of them Mackies. What's that? A Pro FX 8, perfect, and a Behringer compressor limiter gate. One of Dave's podcast went deep into how to properly compress your audio, and it's a complicated process, but they simplify it. And I learned a lot from that podcast of how to use a compressor, limiter, gate. Then I learned about do you need a digital recorder? That's how podcasting has allowed me to get back in the game. And I do these podcasts on acprimetime.com, and that is my hyper local news and information site. acprimetime.com. I also have another one called brigantinenow.com and downbeachbuzz.com. Three different WordPress-powered local sites to be a pain in the butt to the local newspaper, the Press of Atlantic City, and the ability to really get into what I love doing, covering a certain topic, this topic being local news and information surrounding Atlantic City, and doing it with video and sometimes with text, sometimes with photographs, and more often with audio, with podcasting. Because I did local radio here in Atlantic City for a while on a local station called WPG, an AM station, a talk station. And I found that many people missed my awesome interviews. And I'm going, well, how are you going to hear it? I got to record this stuff. I started recording them and putting them up online. And I found that more people were listening to my interviews on that radio station when I was doing talk radio on WPG. They were listening to it at a later date through download, through a podcast. And that's when I said, you know, I can't keep going into this radio station to have nobody listening to me over the air in real time. I love over the air radio, but more people were listening when I was actually recording it as a podcast and making it available on demand. And that is scary to a terrestrial radio company. So AC Primetime Radio is, I just love doing it. I love doing it. And it's all because of Dave Jackson, School of Podcasting. Not giving him all the credit, but there's an awful lot of people that share their knowledge. They give back to the community. And Dave Jackson, the Dave Jackson has helped me getting back into podcasting, getting back into doing what I love. My name is Mel Taylor, and my company is GetSmartDigital.com, and I run sites like ACPrimetime.com and AC Primetime Radio. Thank you.
There you go. And Mel is doing that cool local thing with the podcast just about Atlantic City. So Mel, thank you so much. Again, everything you mentioned, you can find out in the show notes at schoolofpodcasting.com/532. I'm putting this at the end because it's about the School of Podcasting, and it's for those of you that are thinking about joining the School of Podcasting, things like that. And I have to give you a little bit of backstory here. I'll try to get to the point. But basically, I remember when I was in my early 20s, and everybody's like, oh my God, we're going, he's getting to the point by talking about his 20s. But hang with me. When I was in my early 20s, I was talking with my mom, and I was somewhat impressed with myself. I felt I turned out okay. So I asked my mom what her philosophy was when it came to raising kids, or in this case especially, raising me. And her answer was, well, I tried my best not to say no. Now, if something was obviously going to hurt you, then I would say no. But for the most part, I kind of let you do whatever you wanted. Of course, I was the youngest. We get away with murder. And then I basically felt as long as you didn't give me a reason to not trust you, I would trust you. And when I was interviewed for the Messengers documentary, I was asked, you know, Dave, why are you so passionate about podcasting? And I thought about it, and this is what I answered. I said, I spent myself into bankruptcy trying to have children. My wife at the time had some female issues, and we weren't able to conceive. Now, I've always wanted children. I grew up wanting, you know, I just couldn't wait to play catch in the backyard with somebody. And so when that door was closed, I was understandably disappointed. And so I've always wanted kids. If we go a few years after the time when we finally realized we weren't going to be able to conceive, I was a victim of a carjacking, except I didn't want to get out of the car. And when I refused to get out of the car, I basically backed up. And from kind of me to you, yeah, from here to there, the guy pulled out a gun and shot at my window. Now, the bullet bounced off my window. Let's say that one again. The bullet bounced off my window, which would have hit me somewhere in the head or neck region, and went into my door. So in my head, I'm like, okay, so I'm not quite sure what I'm here for because I can't have kids. But obviously, in my case, God wants me here for something. I'm just not sure what it is because I could have easily checked out there and that would have been it. March 26th is my second birthday in this case. Now, a few years after that, that's when podcasting came along, and it really does. It scratches every itch I have. It's technical. I can help people, and you kind of got to be a little bit of a geek. So I love that. I see kind of like why to me, I'm like, this is a way for me to really, I don't know. In a way, I kind of helping people is now kind of like having the children I never had. So all that to say, I want to follow my mom's example and avoid saying no. So when I was at Podcast Movement this year, I had some discussions with people who said really nice things about me. And they kept explaining how I was the Dave Jackson, much like Mel said here today. And I needed to charge way more. And I needed to change the way I was marketing the school of podcasting. And I was doing a podcast for a company for a while. And I was talking about marketing strategies all the time. And the one marketing strategy that kept coming up was scarcity. And you see this now with Disney. Like, we're bringing back Beauty and the Beast DVD special collector's edition. Only now through this, buy it now before it goes away back into the vault forever. Right? That's scarcity. And it's a good strategy and it works well for many brands. There's only one problem. It doesn't work for my brand. And to be more specific, it doesn't work for me personally. I was telling people who want to learn, right? I'd like to join the School of Podcasting and I'd have to say not now. You know, join my newsletter, things like that. And as a teacher, there's one thing you really want, and that's an eager student. And I had them in front of me and I had to go, nope, sorry, got to wait 2 more months. And I've explained my plans to kind of restructure things to the current members of the School of Podcasting. And when I explain that the next time I open up the doors, September 30th, they aren't going to close again, I know I'm doing the right thing, because more than one person said, I wondered why you were doing that. That didn't seem to make sense for you. You know, it's a great strategy, but it's not a great strategy for the School of Podcasting. So here's some of the things I'm going to be doing and why. So if you don't care about the School of Podcasting, by all means, check out. We're good to go. But let me give you a little, this is a little behind the scenes stuff of the School of Podcasting. So what would happen is people would sign up for a month. They would pay top dollar. They would go through the tutorials. And within a month, they left. Now, I was making just as much money as if multiple people had signed up. So the thought was that I would be able to give more personalized attention to these people, which I did. Because there were less people, right? Like there was more of me to go around, I guess. But I planted a seed of a relationship, but I never really got to watch it bloom because they came and after 30 days left. So I was losing that relationship that I build with people who stick around longer. Now, the other thing is I was supposed to get, if we could use air quotes again, more motivated students, as it was costing more to join. And while this may be partially right, I also found out that people with deeper pockets were just as busy, if not more, than people with not so deep pockets. And one of the perks of buying a year in advance was that you got more one-on-one time with me. Yet the people who purchased this rarely took advantage of it. So I added a, if we could do air quotes again, a lot of that today, I added a feature that nobody was using. Now, if that's the case, is that really a feature? And I was told if my prices were too low, people don't respect you. And you know what? I get that. And I'm going to lower my prices a little bit. And people are like, what? You can't lower your prices. People will think you're a buffoon. And I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm going to lower them a little bit. But you'll see here as I explain this, they're not going to be as low as they were. But I'm also removing features, you know, like, I don't know, extra time with me that nobody was using. So that explains why I can lower the prices. And if anybody, I've talked to most of the people that bought extended membership sites, and we're just going to expend their time. So far everything is cool. And I looked in the mirror and asked, well, why did I do all this? And part of my motivation was trying to make other people happy. And I mean, I sincerely appreciate the kind words that my friends were saying about me at Podcast Movement. The problem is they were comparing me to other podcast consultants who make 10 times more than I do. And they want me to succeed. And for that, I'm really, really grateful. However, comparing me to these people, it made me miserable. It really did. It added a lot of stress to my life. It led to me feeling like that what I was doing wasn't good enough. And I woke up one day and I said, you know what? It's time to go to work. So I walked across the hall to go to my job at Libsyn. I help people all day with their podcast at Libsyn. I then had some great one-on-one consulting calls, acting as Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting Guy. And during, you know, that day and the evening, and I always kind of answer questions from people from the School of Podcasting. My bills are paid. My health is better than it's been in 20 years. And I'm happy. Yeah, I know. You heard me. I'm happy. It's official. And I don't care really what other people are making with their podcast. I wish them all well, but here's the bottom line. I am here to help people. And if you ask, I'm going to do my best to avoid saying no. I give out a lot of free advice. I have a whole podcast that does that every Saturday. So on September 30th, International Podcasting Day, I'm going to reopen the School of Podcasting. And while it's been closed, I've moved the membership area to a brand new platform called Thinkific, which is kind of a weird name, but it makes it super easy to maintain. It's more flexible. I'm going to offer subscriptions, but I'm also going to offer the ability to buy just one course. So if you just want to buy the course about using Evernote for podcasting, you can do that now. You don't have to buy the whole thing. I did remove some features so I could lower my prices. And again, those are features that in some cases nobody was using. And I'm going to add more things to the school that I think will truly benefit the members, like podcast reviews. You know, it's my podcast. It's my brand. I'm allowed to change it. And in the end, in the immortal words of Ryan K. Parker of foodcraftsman.com, nobody's going to punch me in the face. So as I record this, it's not September 30th yet. So feel free to go to schoolofpodcasting.com/newsletter. Because coupons will be coming. And speaking of International Podcasting Day, that is coming up on September 30th. And there is a cool, it's a International Podcast Day Gratitude Award. And podcasting is global. It's cool that there are people right now in Baga Naga Scotia land someplace. Insert bizarre country here. And so to celebrate the internationality, we should say, of podcasting, the 2006 International Podcast Day Gratitude Award will recognize the podcast with the most engaged global audience as measured through international podcast reviews in iTunes. So here's what you can do. Register for your own show, all right, your own podcast through My Podcast Reviews. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/MPR, for My Podcast Reviews, that'll do that. You don't have to use the premium version. You can sign up for a free version. And you want to ask your audience to write reviews about how your podcast has impacted their lives, especially if they're listening from outside of your country. So in my case, somebody outside the U.S. And then My Podcast Reviews will automatically check your reviews in all 155 iTunes stores through September 27th. And the podcast with the greatest proportion of international reviews will win the Gratitude Award. And if you've never heard of My Podcast Reviews, it's the leading service for seeing and sharing all your podcast reviews from every country and every platform. This year's winner will be awarded a beautiful plaque from the Podcast Day Planners, an audio branding package compliments of Music Radio Creative. That's a value of £229. Now, if you've never heard of Music Radio Creative, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/MRC. And of course, they'll win a free year of My Podcast Reviews, the premium account. You don't have to purchase anything. You must use the official link to create a new account. And even if an account has already been created. So for the 2016 International Podcast Day Gratitude Award, personal and commercial podcasts may use the free. So you can use the free personal plan. And registrants will be allowed to create multiple free accounts. So if you have multiple shows and you the free account only has so much. You can basically have multiple free accounts. After September 30th, accounts, you can't have 10 million free accounts after September 30th. You would have to, you know, pony up some money and help the guys out there. But Katie Bowman from last year won the Gratitude Award. And this year, if you can get your audience to write some reviews from outside your country, you may win. I would believe I'm uneligible because I'm on the International Podcast Day kind of steering committees. So want to let you know that is aware of that. And for more information, go to internationalpodcastday.com. I really am pumped up to get the doors back open of the School of Podcasting. And I believe next week I'm going to start releasing. I've actually made a big giant list of jargon. And to be honest with you, I was going to record it for this episode, and it's the most boring thing to do. I had 45 minutes of me going over jargon. So we're going to break that up over a couple episodes over the next three or four. And so that'll be coming in the near future. But it was about as fun as reading the dictionary. And I went, yeah, we're not doing that. So hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're a person who's been just kind of just can't quite pull the trigger, pull the trigger and start your podcast today. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER at the School of Podcasting when you sign up. And I hope to see you on the inside.